And welcome to Making Palmy Home. I'm Lorna Johnson, and my guest today is Nina Kirschbaum. So good morning, Nina. How are you?
Morning, Lorna. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
That's great. I'm really good. Looking forward to talking to you.
Thank you.
Some of you will have known Nina as the president of Manawatu Multicultural Council, and she also is a busy person with a job and a family. So we've got lots to talk about this morning, Nina. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been in Palmerston North.
I was born in Jakarta in Indonesia, and I graduated my nursing in Indonesia.
Right.
And so Palmerston North or New Zealand is the sixth country that I've lived.
The sixth country, wow.
So when I first graduated from nursing in Indonesia, I went to Middle East, worked there for a few years, and then back to Indonesia, and then I thought I want to see the world. I went to America for a year or so and tried to get my nursing there, but I couldn't get my certificate wasn't recognized in America.
Oh, okay.
So I had to go back to uni in America.
Right.
And so while I was about to apply my student visa then to learn in America, the embassy in Indonesia was closed. So I had to stay in Indonesia, basically didn't go back, which was pity because I thought I quite liked it there.
Yeah.
It was back in 1993 or 4. Long time ago. and then worked in Indonesia for 2 years at one of the international hospital in Indonesia. That was the first international hospital that was Gleneagles from Singapore.
Right.
And stayed there 2 years, and then I migrated to Germany somehow because
why Germany all of a sudden?
Germany all of a sudden because I'm while I was working as a nurse in Indonesia in a hospital, and then I met dental technician. So he was a German,
right?
And I met him, and then at the time when you heard about Suharto, you know, when we had a riot and Suharto as a president in Indonesia then went down. So he was feeling insecure and he was like, okay, he wants to go back to Germany, and he took me along.
Right. Okay. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
And did you speak German at that point?
No, not at all.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not at all. It was, it was really scary. And then, initially, he said, okay, maybe we go to America, you know, and so on. But then didn't happen. A few months passed, and I said, well, I don't want to just stay home and doing nothing. I said, I want to go back my nursing, you know, which is also hard.
Important
because, I with my Indonesian certificate, again, it's not recognized.
Right.
You know, I have to do training. And one day, I was lucky that I met one of the GP in Germany who knows about Indonesian and so on, and then his friend is a director from the hospital in my town that I live in Germany.
Right.
And then he introduced me to the director, and he gave me a job.
Oh.
He gave me a job as not fully nurse yet, but I had to do training.
Yeah.
So you can imagine how nervous I was because I was like, I don't speak the language.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And so what I did was I enrolled myself to Goethe Institute. And so I went to school from 7 to 12 o'clock. And then from 1 to 9 o'clock nighttime, then I went to hospital to do training, doing the afternoon shift, basically, you know, being supervised and so on.
That's quite a challenge.
It was. And
how long did you do that for?
3 months in a course,
yeah,
you know, and somehow at that time I was still young, I guess, then I pick it up quickly.
Yeah.
But well now done. If you ask me to learn languages, probably I would have a hard time. People also impressed how, you know, how much that I improved my language, you know, within those short time. And I guess because you're speaking in the country itself, and then you kind of
surrounded
and you're forced to be able to speak and write and everything.
Yeah.
So, and that was very challenging, you know, especially winter time. It's just every time I had a long day, apart from the weekend, I guess, there's, you know, they give me a day off, but sometimes they ask me to work.
So no children at that stage?
No children. No. My eldest son was back in Indonesia.
Right.
My parents look after him. And, yeah, so there was a challenge. And then so I was living there for 4 years.
Right.
And, but didn't work the relationship-wise.
Right.
And then so I thought I'd just try to Australia.
Okay. You're a very adventurous person, Nina.
I was. Yeah. You know, like I said, you know, in the young age, you just kind of want to try everything.
Yeah.
And I thought, Australia will be closer to Indonesia, you know. So every time if I go back to Indonesia to visit my family, I would be, you know, able to do it quickly and so on. And then here I am, you know, I was then applying, migrating to Australia. Then somehow, one day that I met my husband, my current one.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's how you ended up in New Zealand, is it? Is your
not New really. He's Australian.
Oh, he's Australian.
I mean, he was born German.
Right.
But then he was studying in Australia. He lives in Australia for a long time, so he took the Australian citizenship. And
So tell us how you ended up in Palmerston North. How did that happen? I can't keep up with all these travels.
Okay, I know. So my husband, he's a research scientist.
Mm-hmm.
So he used to be a consultant for Landcare Research here.
Right.
And then one day he was like, hey, you know, there's an office empty in Palmerston North in New Zealand. I was like, what? I thought at that time I was feeling, I already like Australia. It was like, this is it. I'm not going to move anymore.
Yeah.
Anymore. You know, I got married then. I got children then, you know. So I thought, okay.
This is it.
This is it. You know, I have my job. I work at the Canberra Hospital. And and then he said, let's go to New Zealand for a few years while the kids were still small.
So it was just meant to be temporary, was it?
Was, yes.
Yeah. And how long ago was that?
14 years ago now.
Okay.
I know. And, and so we come to Palmerston North. It took me 3 years to feel settled here.
Right.
Honestly. I came with two kids, you know.
How old were the kids then?
Jessica was 2.5 years and Yolanda was 8 months old.
All right.
Six months, actually. Yeah.
So really young.
So we were like, the first few months we were still like back and forth, New Zealand, Australia, because, we were trying to sell the house there and so on. Anyway, so it was stressful.
Yes. Yeah.
It was very stressful life here, you know, because when I first came here, I felt that I wasn't welcome.
Oh, okay. What made you feel like that?
Well, for example, I went to the shop and the staff kind of like look at me down, you know, when I was lost. I went to the shop in the Broadway.
Yeah.
And then, so it was just so kind of like, I don't know.
It was just how people treated you that you felt?
And which is kind of, to me, it was like, this is, you know, it's not right. It's not good.
No.
And, but I guess, I don't know what to say, how to describe, but I was just stressed. Maybe I can tell, you know, that I felt that I did not like it at all.
Yeah.
You know, from at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I guess then I make a network through children, you know, because I took the kids then. Every day is library day.
Right, yeah.
Jumping jelly bean, everything else, you name it. And swimming, then you met other parents, you know, and that's how you make the network.
Yeah.
And then you started then kind of feel, okay, you know, they're also, I'm not the only one who felt, you know, the same.
Yeah.
You know, some of them that I met, they also feel like that, you know, they're so, you know, some people are unfriendly. I wouldn't say everybody. I'm not generalizing it, you know, but some of them even at the grocery,
Yeah. I do think it's important, though, that we're kind of honest about what it is like. You know, not everybody feels supremely welcome when they arrive in a new place. And, yeah, we're not going to gloss over that, you know. Yeah. So what changed for you that you started to feel more settled? What helped, do you think? Was it the networks that you made and the different people that you met through the children?
Yes, definitely. And also... it was, 2007 when we came here to visit for 10 days because we were looking for the renting house.
Yeah.
And it was the day when it was the Festival of Culture was on.
Okay.
At the square. I mean, we come late because, you know, we walk from the motel we stay. And then I look, hey, there's an Indonesian flag, you know. I was like, I couldn't believe it. It was like, in this small city, we have Indonesian. and then I come as the Indonesian Student Association that have the stall, you know. Then I met people there, and then it was like, oh, you know, you kind of feel like you're back home when you feel your own people. So it was kind of like, oh, you're doing your own study here at Messi, you know. And then we do have the associations, you know, and then so on. I was like, oh. You know, interesting that we change the number, you know, and so on, and then get to know people.
Yeah.
Get to know more, you know, and more. Oh, yeah, there's another one here, another one here. So it's like, oh.
So the community was growing, the Indonesian community was growing?
Yeah, mostly student, though, at that time. Yeah, maybe I met resident like 3 or 4 of them only.
Right.
Yeah, and then I started interested to find out more, you know, about the Indonesian community here, and that's why I met Network. Because I had a thought at the time, you know, the local people already there have their own network.
Yes.
So it's really hard to, you know, kind of like get close to them.
Yeah.
And I mean, I do make some a good friend from the local people you know, up till now. And but then I thought also with the Indonesian, you know, some of them are struggling as well, you know, with the student probably is fine because they, you know, they know the English.
They're all together as well. Yeah. Yeah.
But then if the family member, you know, who come here need to go to study, you know, at the primary school or looking for a kindergarten or something like that, you know, then they're struggling. They don't know what to do and all stuff like that. And that's why then I step in, you know, was like, okay, you know, I can help you find out more about it and so on. And from there, then I've kind of become like, hey, I like helping people, you know. Because, and that's also maybe one of the reason I'm always loved being a nurse because I'm passionate of helping people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then, you know, then I kind of feel like already, all right, you know, maybe this is my home now, you know. So, continue. You know, growing the community, making new friends.
Yeah.
And another new friends, not just the Indonesian, you know, everyone else and so on, through the play group, you know. And
so it takes time, doesn't it, I suppose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. Like I said, it was 3 years or something like that. Before I really felt. Yeah. But the network... I think that this is really important.
Awesome. Well, look, we'll take a break at this point. We'll play some music and then we'll come back and carry on our conversation.
Thank you.
Making Palmy Home, and my guest today, Nina Kirschbaum. So we've been talking a little bit about Nina's first few years in Palmerston North and how she made friends through her networks, through the children. And now, you know, 14 years later, you're president of the Manawatu Multicultural Council. So how did that come about? Tell us how you got involved in such a big role in MMC.
I can't believe myself that I'm doing it now. Well, I know MMC since I first moved to New Zealand because the past president, he's the colleague of my husband,
right,
Surinder Sagar. And so he was telling me, oh, Nina, you should go to MMC. You know, they have a lot of activities for the newcomer and so on and so on. And yeah, that's how I started. And they used also to have the multicultural prayer group. That's right. How I also, you know, joining and all stuff like that. Yeah, that's how I started know MMC.
So you started by going along to the activities that MMC was organizing.
Going along to the activities, yes. Yeah. And then while I was joining the activities, then of course, you know, the kids playing, and then the mothers, we are talking to each other, and then, you know, we share our experience and so on. And then I kind of feel like, oh, you know, there's somebody else that is kind of like worse than me because they don't speak the language, you know.
Yeah.
And then that's how I kind of feel like, yep, I can feel them, you know, just like when I was living in Germany, you know, no language.
Yeah, so you can identify with that experience of moving to another country and not knowing
exactly
the language.
Yeah. Yeah. So I kind of feel like I'm feeling their food, you know. I was like, yep. So, and then again, you know, I was like, yep, you need help. I can help you with this, you know, I can help you with that, or even showing them where to the grocery, you know, or even just a simple English, you know, like the ingredient, because some mothers wanted to know what it is here, you
right.
know, if it's like halal, you know, if they are Muslim
okay.
or
yeah,
something
yeah.
like that.
So you started then being more of a helper.
More of a helper. And then I thought I quite enjoyed it, you know, because I thought, hey, you know, this is not the end of the world. I was working for nine months when I first come to New Zealand, but then because busy with the children and the family house and everything else, so I stay home. So that's how I first know MMC. So come along to the activities, you know, kind of not really wanted to know what about the organization in depth, you know.
Yeah.
I just enjoying the activities they have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really good. Come to the potluck dinner
and
all the stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, so you just had the... was it the 10-year
celebration?
The
10th anniversary of potluck dinner. Apparently, yes.
Yeah.
That was good, yeah.
That was good, wasn't
and it?
It
was perfect that we're doing it at the PNCC.
Yeah.
What else can you ask?
Yeah. Hmm. So in your role as president of MMC, what sort of things are you doing? It's quite a busy role. You seem to be quite busy with it.
Oh, yes. It is very challenging because... Yeah. So I really want to, we are setting up in a higher level of services in MMC.
Yeah.
So we're going into the social services.
Right.
And then we need to have the level 3 accreditation, which, mm-hmm. you know, all the requirement you can, you name it, you know, everything. It was just, you know, a lot of work, a lot of admin work. And then I've got a great team that we work together nicely. And then with our background differently, you know, we can, we have our strength and our weakness, and we're combining it, you know, and that's how it become. And then I think most importantly that we all have the same vision and mission, you know.
Yes, that is important.
Yeah,
in any organization. Yeah.
Yeah, it is very important, not having somebody having it differently, but we all at one.
Working together.
Working together, so that's good. To get those level, then of course, you know, setting up is always takes some time, and it's just a matter of time.
So this is a new initiative for MMC.
It's a new initiative because last year when I first come become a president, you know, I was having a conversation with the DIA and what is my vision. And I said, what I noticed at the MMC lack of this, you know, yeah. this is the gap, and that's what, you know, that I want to have those within MMC. Yeah. And then he was like, okay. It was like kind of like I was, yeah, I couldn't believe it either, you know. So we were kind of like, we need the community navigation yeah. because I've been also volunteering in the community the last 10 years, you know.
Doing that kind of thing.
Doing
really.
Kind of yeah. things basically for, I mean, indirect for MMC, yeah. you know, because I know the community. I know the refugee family who needs help, you know, who's being treated miserably, you know, by, yeah. You know what it is.
How yeah, it's to not live. Always easy.
Yeah, it's
is
not
it?
Always no. easy. And then knowing this, it's limited help and so on.
Yeah.
Limited people to help. Then I brought him. Sometime I become interpreter with three other people. You right. know, so because I can't, for example, I don't speak Rohingya. Then I have to take the Rohingyan who can speak Malay mm-hmm. with me, and then I speak then the English to the midwife or something like that. You know, so. Yeah, so now we are setting up to have the project team people working together. We're gonna call all the community leader mm-hmm. to help us with that. So that's where then we get the all the database, you know, for us to help where the gaps are in those
oh,
people
sounds
who
an exciting
want more
project.
Needs.
Yes, yeah. yeah. And as you say, obviously it's come out of you identifying needs
yeah,
in the community
yeah,
that
yeah.
could be met.
Yes.
So
yes.
fabulous.
Yeah. 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 Because like I said, you know, I've been noticing it since, you know, long time when
yeah.
I helped them out there. When I asked, I was like, oh, can you help Nina? I said, yep, I'm happy to help, you
yeah.
know. But now I thought we can do that.
Do something
you know,
a bit more
I just
formalized.
Yeah,
yeah.
I just use the opportunity while I'm up there mm-hmm. to make use mm-hmm. all to make it better, even better. MMC is doing good,
yeah.
you know.
But yeah, and it's a very long-standing organisation, but that doesn't mean that there aren't new initiatives that can
yeah,
come
yeah.
And help
yeah.
more people. Absolutely.
Mm.
So are you back to working in nursing?
Yeah, actually I'm only back almost at the same time when I was elected as a president. Where did I work? September, I think.
Right.
Yeah,
so
a month before, you know, the AGM
yeah.
of the MMC, I put my name as a volunteer at the Ministry of Health to help with the COVID-19.
Yeah.
And then one day then I get a phone call, hey, Nina, do you want to work? And I was like, work? Yeah, work as a nurse. And I thought, well, I haven't done my nursing for quite some time.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, don't worry, you know, the Nursing Council is going to give you the interim practicing certificate
right.
and you can work and so on. And this is, you know, the... salary and blah blah, and I was like, oh, okay. I was also nervous then,
yes,
you know. I was
yeah,
like, oh my god, this is another next challenge, you know, my life. But I of course I'm happy because I've been wanted to go back to my nursing,
yeah,
especially knowing my youngest baby is 10 years old already. So I was kind of like, it's about time,
yeah,
you know.
So now you were telling me in the break, you've got quite an interesting hobby, haven't you? So tell us about your hobby.
It was, yeah, like I said, it started when I first moved here and I was looking for the cake decorator who can make a birthday cake for my baby first birthday.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I found one, but I wasn't quite happy. And then for me, and I thought, I know already how to bake the cake, you know, and maybe now come next level, I'll try to decorate the cake, you know. And yeah, then I started, you know, ordering the cake decorating kit.
Oh.
And then looking at the YouTube, you know, how
right.
to do this, how to do that.
Yeah.
First with the buttercream, you know, and then I'm kind of started become addicted then.
So what kind of decorations are you doing? Are you just doing it for friends and family, or do you do commissions?
Initially doing for families
yeah.
only, or
mm-hmm.
close friend.
Yeah.
If they have a birthday, then I give them free cake, you know,
right.
because practice makes perfect, right?
Yeah.
So having a five in a family, so there's also enough practice. But to do it for friends and so on. And later on, then my friend was like, Nina, you can make business. I was like, oh, I'm not a business-minded person,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And kind of like, ooh, we're going to do and so on. But yeah, I managed for a few years doing, you know, taking order from outsider until I become busy, then I didn't do it anymore.
Yeah. So so we know who to go to if we need a decorator.
Yeah, it is very challenging, but it's fun. It's rewarding, especially it's rewarding.
It's a kind of a creative
thing, isn't creative it? Yeah. thing. Yeah, I made of flowers out of fondant. You know, I become level into playing with the isomelt, which is like sugary clear that look like that. I make. I think I made my daughter's once Moana birthday cake that I had to make those wave that out of.
Right. Okay.
it was
very complicated.
It was complicated. It was challenging, but it was fun at the same time.
Well,
yeah.
Well done. That's awesome. Look, we're just about out of time. Thanks for coming in and talking to us today.
Okay.
You've had a very interesting sort of journey around the world, really. And but it's our luck that you've landed in Palmerston North. And thanks for all you're doing in the role in MMC. That's great.
Thank you for having me.
So everyone, you've been listening to Making Palmy Home. I'm Lorna Johnson. And you can catch the show at npr.nz/show/Making Palmy Home. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.